going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The final hour of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, wrapping up the final 60 of the radio broadcast. Your texts are welcome at 844-326-3663. That is the number to the Hub City Spartanburgers text line, 844-326-3663. You can text whatever you want to say to that line, we will read them on the air. Like Texter, who said, how about them burgers beating the drive? Yes, indeed. The first ever showdown between the burgers and the drive last night over at 3-5 Stadium in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And I got to tell you, had a bit going on last night because the rig needed some attention. The rig needed some love. So it had to go in the shop. Didn't have a ride there and back, but I am very much considering throwing the lady friend in the vehicle and taking a ride over to the Berg tonight to go take in my first Spartanburgers game. I have not even gotten an opportunity to see the completed stadium yet, which is just a wee bit disappointing, but I am hoping that may very well change this evening. We will find out if I get the opportunity, but from what I heard yesterday was a party, a underbet cashes for the burgers in the drive last night after a rain delayed first pitch. We'll see if they can run it back again tonight. We'll keep you up to date on the two upstate professional baseball teams as we move forward. But speaking of, the Hub City Spartanburger text line open for you, 844-326-3663. Texter said, Rob, the NFL draft is interesting because it gives fans a little hope that they are just a few good draft picks away and maybe they get their guys. That's my guess. And I'm going to say that is correct. I'm going to say that is part of the reason we were asking the question earlier. Why is it that the busiest team in the draft is going to add 8 to 9 guys? Some of the less busy teams are going to add, 4 to 7 guys to the roster. Why is it that the NFL draft is this 4-day bonanza that we all absolutely lose our minds over? And I think this texter, great one, I think this texter kind of boiled it down. At the end of the day, this draft is as exciting as this draft is. Every draft is as exciting as every draft is for one reason and one reason alone. The reason that we call it NFL Christmas, because as of tomorrow evening, when the first pick goes out, with Cam Ward likely being the pick going to Tennessee, when the pick goes in and out, every team at that point has some reason for optimism because you don't know if you're going to stumble into a CJ Stroud. You don't know if you're going to stumble into a quarterback who's going to show up and in year number one is going to have an impact that is going to turn your team into a team. You don't know if with that pick, yeah, it's just a boring offensive lineman. But you never know if that boring offensive lineman is going to go on to be your Orlando Pace or your Willie Rofe. Yeah, it's just a boring defensive end pick. But you never know if that boring defensive end pick is going to end up turning into Myles Garrett. That boring linebacker pick is going to end up turning into, whoever. You just don't know. Trey Hendrickson. Micah Parsons. Luke Kuechly, exactly. In fact, hilariously, I was, I think a day or two ago, as obviously most of our sports sites on the social medias right now, they are obviously all in draft mode as we are. And there was an account, and if I find it again, I'll share it on my social media. I kind of scrolled across it at way past your bedtime o'clock the other night. But it was an account that had gone back through all the years of the draft and was finding and posting crowd reactions to picks, to draft picks, Lonzo, of players that they hated at the time that went on to become great players, right? Like getting angry at teams for taking players, booing them, cheering them, jeering them, whatever. And then it was for players that went on to be great. And one of the ones that was very interesting was, and I am not saying that this was all of, I am not saying that this was a majority of, I'm not even saying it was a significant portion of. But this account had found a couple of videos of Panther fans who reacted less than optimistically about the selection, about the short white kid out of Boston College, Luke Kuechly. And it was like, it's basically a fan call out page of like, hey, maybe calm the hell down, right? Like maybe relax a little bit because it's not like these GMs are intentionally getting it wrong. That's not to say they're not going to get it wrong, but they're not intentionally trying to get it wrong. And they had a bunch of video from Panther fans back in the day when Luke Kuechly was selected of the negative reaction from a lot of Panthers fans about a guy that would obviously go on to become one of, if not the Panther great, right? Like at least on defense, the Panther great. And I found that wildly entertaining. But at the end of the day, yes. The NFL draft is exciting, is entertaining, is enthralling, is compelling for NFL fans, if nothing else. Because of the fact that if for only a handful of hours, we get to have optimism that maybe our team won't stink next year. Maybe this is the guy that starts the windfall, right? And if you've got, if you've watched the last couple of years, if you watch GMs like Howie Roseman that have done just that, if you have watched over the last couple of years, guys like Brett Veach, Kansas City, if you've watched some of these GMs that have masterclassed the draft, that have found the voodoo, found the gree-gree, whatever, that has allowed them to consistently dominate the draft, to consistently perform in the draft, to consistently find the right guys in the right spot to plug into their roster at the right time and get it right, then it's kind of a spot where you go, why the hell not us? Why? That can be. Hell, if nothing else, that probably should be us. That can be us. And that's why we love the draft, man, because if only for a day, we all get to pretend that our team is as competent, as talented, as strategy-based, and will be as successful as any other team. And the answer is no, they can't. Very few of them can. That's why the ones that can are celebrated as long as they are celebrated. But at least we get to pretend for a few minutes, And that's why the NFL game is the best. All right. Texter said, Rob, some teams trade their entire draft for one guy, LOL. First off, Texter, completely unnecessary. Rude and unnecessary. Second off, you got it wrong. We didn't trade our whole draft for Ricky Williams. We traded our whole draft and the next one for Ricky Williams. Stop it.
You know, I could pretend to empathize with you. And go, yeah, I get what it feels like to be a Saints fan and look forward to this is the guy that's going to turn things around. This is the guy. But I can't do that. I haven't had to worry about that for a really long time. It's more like, oh, here's the next piece. Here's the next piece. You know, and yes, the Chiefs lost in the Super Bowl last year, but they were in the Super Bowl. So what's the next piece? What's that little bit of tweaking it's going to take to get past the Philadelphia?
Very fair. Very fair. Don't. Just don't. Any of you. Lonzo, Texters, just don't. Okay, you understand? It has been 2.5 decades since that happened, and I'm still salty. I'm still upset. I'm still mad at Mike Ditka for it. All right, I still haven't forgiven Mike
Ditka.
He looked
good in the dreads. It's weird, but I thought it was a good look for him.
Yeah, that's not incorrect. Okay. Texter said, let's see here. Text line, help the city Spartanburger. Text line 844-326-3663. Corn Chip texts the show, said, I am definitely going to a Spartanburgers game to give me an excuse to get to the Beacon. So two things here. Number one, I still have not made it to the Beacon. And I kind of feel like I'm doing a disservice to the Upstate. I kind of feel like this is on me and like I'm almost disrespecting the area.
Well, yeah, especially you as a Duke's mayonnaise guy, the guy who comes on and finds out what's the tradition. Let me get into that to endear myself to those around me. And you've been here for a while and you haven't been to the Beacon yet.
Wow. Yeah, that's on me and that's my bad. That may also have to be my excuse to get over there.
And maybe you go there. And maybe afterwards you just don't mention it anymore because maybe it's not a good experience for you. I'm just saying it could be a thing.
It also might be incredible. Okay, it's an upstate institution,
or it could be a thing, Rob, where you go there and then you just don't mention it anymore. That could be that thing.
I mean, it could be, or it also could end up being the meal that changes my life. You never know. We'll find out. Mm-hmm.
You're kind of a snob when it comes to food, so I'm just saying.
Correct, and if you win me over, know you've hit on something legendary, bud.
That's a big ol' if.
That's the point. Now, if I do come back on and I never say anything about it again, then you'll know. If I go, hey guys, I went to this establishment anyway. Moving on, that's something totally different. But what I will say here, great one. Is this about the Hub City Spartanburgers? Because I do think it is important to point out. The Hub City Spartanburgers at their beautiful Fifth Third Park out there have unveiled the burger topping bar. It is the world's largest burger topping bar. They have over 101 different toppings to mix together to create the most unique burger in the game. It is whatever you want it to be.
Okay. I got to interrupt for a second. So when you think of how many toppings there are for a hamburger, did you ever think in your life that there would be that many? That's a lot. It really is.
So I was looking at this because on their website.
See, now you've got me intrigued. I'm not a baseball guy. But the burger bar and the experience and getting to go somewhere that has just been built. And from all I've seen, it looks like an amazing stadium.
Looks beautiful.
Yeah. Now I may have to go because of this.
Let me give you the news presser about it. That came out just a handful of days ago. The Hub City Spartanburgers and OVG Hospitality are excited to unveil an epic new culinary experience at Fifth Third Park, the Burger Topping Bar. With a jaw-dropping 101 different toppings, fans now have endless ways to mix and match their accoutrement. Spartanburgers Everywhere can create over 2 million combinations. Oh, sorry. Let me get my math right here, Lonzo. 2 non-nillion combinations. Whether fans prefer something classic or adventurous, there's truly a burger for everyone at Fifth Third Park. General manager of the Hub City Spartan Burgers, Tyson Jeffers, buddy of the show, Tyson Jeffers, said, quote, as we debut Fifth Third Park, our goal is to provide our fans with a fun and flavorful experience. I love that, Tyson. Well done. And our new burger topping bar takes that to the next level. We're giving our fans the ultimate customization experience with endless ways to make their burgers unique. Whether you're enjoying a classic burger or our signature Spartan burger, every fan will be able to make their burger their own. Standing almost 18 feet tall, located in the right field concourse, the burger topping bar allows fans 166,650 ways to customize their burger with three toppings. Fans can choose from a variety of burger options, including the classic hamburger, cheeseburger, veggie burger, the signature Spartan burger, which is, they're after my own heart, Lorenzo. The signature Spartan burger, which is loaded with pimento cheese, fried green tomato, and crispy onions. Mwah! The biggest chef's kiss I have ever chef's kissed. Access to the burger topping bar is complimentary
except for the cheese, man. Come on. I mean,
I love
fried green tomatoes, but I don't know about the cheese. Can you substitute? Can you put real cheese on there?
I'm sure you can.
Okay, but all right. There's a lot of selection there.
Why would you win pimento cheese is right there, baby?
Why would you not?
Access to the burger topping bar is complimentary with the purchase of any burger, from bacon and cheese to jalapeno relish and barbecue pulled pork. Wait a minute. You're telling me that on the burger topping bar, barbecue pulled pork is a topping? I could just get a burger and then make it a barbecue pulled pork burger as a part of the burger bar? Spartan Burgers. Are you flirting with me right now? Are you coming on to me a little bit right now, Spartan Burgers? Because I got to tell you, I've got the vapors just a little bit. Are you kidding me? That's incredible. Lauren Matthews, GM of OVG Hospitality at Fifth Third, said, quote, we wanted to create something that not only matched the energy and creativity of the Spartan Burgers brand, but also brought fans something they've never seen before in a ballpark. The burger topping bar is all about choice, flavor, and fun, and it's a perfect example of how food can be a highlight of the ballpark experience. Hub City broke out the burger topping bar on opening night, April 15th, when the Spartan Burgers took down the Bowling Green Hot Rods, High A affiliate of the Rays 5-3. Tickets are available at HubCitySpartanBurgers.com or at FifthThirdPark.com. So all day I've been like, do I go to the Burgers game tonight? Do I head on over and watch game two of the I-85 rivalry between the Drive and the Burgers? Do I go watch perhaps the upstate's hottest sports rivalry in the game right now? Maybe I will. You know, I gotta see how the car shapes up. I gotta see what dent in the budget that's gonna make. Gotta see how the wife's feeling when she gets home from a day of work up in the north end of the state. Gotta find out this, gotta find out that. And now I see a 101 available topping burger topping bar, and the decision's made. If I have to Uber my burger loving ass to Spartanburg, we're going to the game, pal. It's just got to happen. Maybe not you and me tonight, Zoe, but you and me are picking a weeknight game, or maybe like a midday, midweek game, somewhere like a Wednesday 2:30 game. We're packing everyone we love in a car, and we're going to knock down a burger bar that gives us 1.1 million ways to customize a burger.
Why do we have to pack everybody else up? Why can't it just we go?
Bro date. Listen.
Multiple trips to the burger bar. I mean, you know.
I mean, I'm a tell you straight up right now. I've been talking for years about undertaking the 9-9-9 challenge. 9 dogs, 9 beers, 9 innings. I've been looking to undertake that for a while. I might just go forget the beers, because I don't think I'm doing 9 burgers and 9 beers. I might knock down the 9 burger challenge. We're knocking down 9 burgers, a burger an inning, every inning for a Spartan Burgers game, and every one of them must be topped differently than the last. Oh, this is art. This is poetry. Hub City Spartan Burgers, I already liked you. You now might be my favorite team ever all time. That's just legendary. A burger, 101 different toppings, and one of them is pulled pork and pimento cheese. Are you a pulled pork burger with pimento cheese on it? I may not be able to finish this show.
You're not eating 9 of those, though.
I mean, oh, God, no.
Yeah.
I may eat one of those and die, but I will die a fat and happy man. That's going to be, oh, man, I can't wait. Yeah. Hey, wife, I don't know if you're listening up in the north end of South Carolina, but do not make plans tonight. I just did. Are you kidding me? Oh, I'm going to be, Lonzo, I might come into the show tomorrow in a wheelbarrow. You might have, the elevator might be in use tomorrow morning if this plays out the way I want it to. Thank you, Spartan Burgers, a team truly after my own heart. All right, we got to run to a break. When we come back here in just a minute from right now, I watched the WrestleMania main event last night. I got caught up finally. And Zoe, I have thoughts, and you're not going to like them. I'll tell you what they are. When we come back, it's Rob Brown. It's the great one, Lonzo. It's the Rob Brown Show. It's the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. The Fan Upstate, Rob Lonzo, and you. I have caught up on WrestleMania, and I really just want to dial in on the main event. Obviously, tomorrow, I love you tomorrow. You're only a day away. It is not only NFL draft day, but it is also Fight Club with the great one, Lonzo, at 9:20 tomorrow morning. We'll have Rashad Beard coming by at 8:40 to talk Carolina Panthers. Lulu Kessin at 8 o'clock to talk Gamecock baseball. And Hayden S. Mario at 9 o'clock to talk NFL draft. But 9:20, it's all wrestling. It is Fight Club. However, we've been kind of dabbling in the landscape of WrestleMania the last couple of days and continue to do so here. I watched the main event, and I really just kind of want to dial in on the main event here. So, it was bad. It was bad. This is just my own personal opinion. It was bad. It was poorly paced. It was, to me, it was a cluster, as the kids say. I had a couple of problems with it. Number one, it actually felt like it was hitting a pretty good pattern there for a minute. And it felt like Cena and Rhodes were kind of getting into having a good match. And then the Travis Scott stuff started. And not only did he indeed take way too long for a moment that was supposed to feel like it had some weight, it had some importance, it had whatever to it. It took so long, it just sucked me right out of what was actually happening. Now, that's a celebrity getting involved, not necessarily understanding the intricacies of wrestling. I can live with that. I can live with that. Here's the bigger problem that I have with it. And it does have to do with jumping into the complaint of, okay, why did we not have The Rock there? Why was The Rock not there? Especially when...
So I'm guessing you didn't look at what I sent you and the fact that The Rock echoed everything that I said yesterday, that the reason why he wasn't there is because he didn't want to take the shine away from the 17th win.
Why tell the story that way? Why tell the story that way?
Well, he also
said. It doesn't make sense.
Did you see any of what he said though?
Yes.
It's kind of controversial. So
it's bullcrap damage control is what it is. That's what it is. It's bullcrap damage control, in my opinion. It's BS damage control from a man who, and this is where we're gonna kind of start to collide our love of pro wrestling and kayfabe and the real world. It is the exact same spin machine that Dwayne threw up when Black Adam crapped the bed and he came to the realization of, oh, I can't just be Dwayne and have people love what I do. I actually have to try. I got to actually try here. When Black Adam came out, which I did finally see a handful of weeks ago because it showed up on one of the streaming services and I was bored. It was not a good movie. It just wasn't a good movie. So,
by the way, Hawkman, pretty good.
Hawkman was good. There were elements of the movie that were fine. There were some things in the movie that I'm like, okay, if we could take that out, put it somewhere else.
Dr. Fate, pretty good.
good stuff. There was some good stuff in the movie. The movie itself was not a good movie. So if you wanted genuinely, truly, if you wanted the spotlight to be on John Cena, then why did we do the whole turn? Why do we do that in the first place? And wait, let me finish this. If you wanted truly the heel turn to be about John Cena having a heel turn, then just have him heel turn. Just have him face Cody Rhodes, have a face versus face in the main event at WrestleMania, and have him turn in the match to become everything that he said he was never going to be the champion, because he'd rather be 17 time than a good, pure, true white baby face champion. Here's what, and there is one more thing The Rock said that gave the whole game away, which was this. And this was my primary concern when TKO took over WWE. It very clearly became more about the money than it ever has been before. And it very clearly became more about the profit margin than it ever had before, because Dwayne said, and he shall herefore to ever after be referred to only as Dwayne on this show, because The Rock is dead as far as I'm considered. He's just Dwayne now. Dwayne openly acknowledged that the CEO of TKO called him and got him in the Backlash picture. Dwayne's words, not mine. Because
Elimination Chamber.
Say what?
Elimination Chamber.
Or whatever one it was. You said at Chamber. Yeah. Because ticket sales were slow and they shoehorned Dwayne in as a way to bump ticket sales. I'm even okay with that. Okay? Having The Rock show up, not Dwayne, having The Rock show up, absolutely freebie to get your ticket sale numbers up. Zero issues with that at all. The problem is you shoehorned him into this angle. You shoehorned some random ass celebrity into the angle that fits no narrative. That helps nothing at all, in my opinion. Yes, I know you want to get eyes on the next generation. Like, okay, but how does that play into, at the end of the day, I am good with bringing the next generation in if you're using it to tell a story. As much as I cannot stand him as a person, Logan Paul is doing a great job of that. Okay, I can't fault Logan Paul for anything in the wrestling world, because everything he's doing to bring in new people, working like a charm. The Dwayne thing came across as forced. It came across as unnecessary, and it didn't feel that way until the end of that match, when there was, again, what reason? Yeah, it wasn't important enough for The Rock to show up. It was important enough for him to pull the strings to have John Cena turn his back on 17 years of history. But it wasn't important enough for him to show up at WrestleMania. And it wasn't important enough for Dwayne to show up at WrestleMania. But it was important enough for him to send out Travis Scott. Like, where does this make sense to me at all?
All right,
it was a flubbed story at the end.
I have several things. First of all, is Travis Scott not a good rapper? I don't know. I've been out of the rap game for a while, Rob, so I don't know. Can you tell me, is Travis Scott a pretty good rapper?
I mean, he charts.
Okay. All right. So there might have been eyes on the thing that wouldn't normally be. So that's from a money standpoint. The other thing is, I still stand by, and that's the only thing that Dwayne said that I agree with, is that he needed to be out of the way for John Cena to get his shine. But here's another thing: John Cena said he was going to ruin wrestling. Man, you're upset about it, and so are a bunch of other people. So he did what he said he was going to do there. And then there's this other factor, and this has nothing to do with fantasy booking or anything, long-term storytelling. What if this is all Paul Heyman? We're starting to see little things here and there. What if they bring it all back to this was all Paul Heyman doing something, okay, and make it into a storyline that works? Would you have to come back and apologize for your opinion?
No. And I have two things to say. Number one, and this is so that we're clear, this is something that I am very guilty of too. But what I can't do is say, this thing sucked, so let me fantasy book it into something better. No, You got to get this thing right. We're not talking about a main event on Monday Night Raw in July. We're talking about the main event of WrestleMania. This is WrestleMania. This is the Super Bowl. This is the biggest thing. And there is a difference between a character in wrestling, ruin wrestling in the kayfabe, enjoy our movie way versus you made it a bad wrestling match. That's not ruining wrestling. That's just doing wrestling bad. There is a difference. And he crossed over into, that's just bad.
John Cena can't wrestle that great anymore because he's older. I thought the match itself, for who was in it, I thought it wasn't bad because
already
you're
said
not,
that.
Yeah, you're not going to get that much out of Cena. There's a reason already why he's retiring.
I'm not asking John Cena to come out and put a 60 minute Iron Man match on. Not at all. I'm not even asking him for a hit to do a Meltzer 5-star. I'm not asking for any of that. I'm asking for
the
main event of what you annually sell as the biggest event in sports entertainment anywhere to not be a complete and total waste of time. And it just felt like it was. You could have. You want to fantasy book it? No problem. Dwayne never gets involved. John Cena versus Cody Rhodes. Babyface versus babyface. Rhodes saying, if you want to be 17 time, you've got to earn it. Blah, blah, blah. And then Cena snapping in the match and needing to beat Ric Flair so badly that he just does an organic heel turn in the match. How much more of a ridiculous reaction would that have gotten to have a baby face turn in that match from Cena instead of a weird turn with Dwayne that, by the way, still isn't explained, for then Dwayne to not show up at the match because it's not that important, but it is important enough to send Travis Scott out.
You know what?
There.
All you good writers out there that are so good at this, like yourself, why do you not work for WWE? I don't know why that is.
Honestly, dude, like, if you think this story is good, we just have found our subjective line in the sand. Because if Dwayne can't be bothered to show up, but it is important enough to send Travis, if you wanted the shine to be on Cena, why'd you send out Travis Scott?
Okay, so does that mean you're done? What? You're not watching anymore?
No, I'm still going to watch. I've still got Monday Night Raw queued up and ready to go right after.
All right, that's pretty good, by the way.
That doesn't mean I'm allowed to not be disappointed by it. It doesn't mean just because I like that. I was disappointed in a couple of Marvel projects. It doesn't mean I'm not going to see Doomsday the night that it drops. Of course I am. If it was important enough that you didn't want to take a shine off of Cena, then sending out Travis Scott makes no sense. Dwayne has sold out, not in kayfabe, in real life. And it became obvious to me last night when I watched the main event. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Got a few more sports stories to get before we call it a day on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. All right, we are inside of, 34 and a half hours now?
Come on, Steiner, you can pull it out.
Hey, I was working on that one there for a second. I forgot to do my math before we got here. 34 and a half hours left until the NFL draft, ladies and gentlemen. We have given you some thoughts so far. We don't have to necessarily go on the record until tomorrow, but Zoe, I will throw it to you because I've given my thought a couple of times. With the number 8 selection in the NFL draft, or without it, the Carolina Panthers are most likely to what?
Take an end rusher, unless Ashton Jeanty is there. I still think if he's there, they take him.
I just like there's 7 positions of need for this team. And
they got a bunch of draft picks. And they also have one of the most expensive offensive lines out there.
They do, but again,
I don't necessarily believe in the running backs they have right now.
I think Chuba Hubbard's fine. I like Rico Dowdle a lot as a
but
dude.
I don't like him as a number one, though. I don't.
No, I don't like him as a number one, and I wouldn't bring him in as an. I think Chuba's still the number one. I do think, for the record, I think Rico Dowdle's good enough to take that number one spot from him with, like, good performance. Remember, this dude last year, Rico Dowdle, I don't want to sit here and pretend that, especially with all of the Let's go with inconsistencies that the Dallas Cowboys have had over the years at running back. His cat ran for over 1,000 yards last year. I mean, he's not a slouch, right? Like, I think he's a good 1-2 punch with Chuba Hubbard. It's not that I don't think you can upgrade the running back spot, because I absolutely think you can. And hell,
all right,
as a Bryce Young fanboy, I would love to see them put a world-class running back behind him, especially one that can catch the ball out of the backfield. Rico Dowdle's a 2-4 catches out of the backfield.
By the way, Dowdle, hip injury in 2021, out for a good portion of the season, injured in 2022, injured in 2023. I mean, I'm not saying he's injury prone, because I don't believe he was injured last year, but first few years in the league, injury every single year.
First few years in the league, and if I recall, all 3 years in college had an injury that cost him at least a handful of games.
Yeah, like, so that's why I'm saying, I mean, he's good as a second back as long as he stays healthy.
Sure.
Chuba has never been one of the top running backs in the league to me.
I agree. I am not disagreeing with
Ashton Jones could be. And if he's there, I think you got to take him.
I am not disagreeing with anything that you were saying. And if anything, if you were ever going to make a move like this one, this is the year to make that move. And this is the year to make that move because, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, as I've mentioned a couple of times, this draft, as far as I am concerned, has enough, I'm going to say deep enough talent in enough positions around the football field that I genuinely think you can extend your needs a little bit further, right? Like, if there is a primary overarching need for you in the first round, if the guy that you want isn't there, and there's just a list of guys that you like there, there are some positions, and I think edge rusher is one of them, if not the one that I'm talking about. I think there are some positions that you can look at drafting the same position in the second round, and I don't think that you are going to be, I don't think you're going to be drafting, in terms of the amount of talent, too far of a fall backwards from where you would be drafting the same guy or the same caliber of talent that you would be getting the same guy in the first round. And so to me, like, if you're going to hang out and you are going to wait, and do keep in mind, I do think it is important to remember here. I don't think it's important. It is important to remember here that the Carolina Panthers, their second round pick does not occur all the way down until pick number 57, I think. Right? Like, they're not in the same spot in the second round. They don't pick till 57 again. So it's a big gap here. This is part of the reason I've said, like, a trade back from 8 to somewhere in the middle of the second round. And if you can find that trade partner, whether it's like, a Dallas to get them up and get, maybe, hell, I haven't even thought about this one till literally right now. What about Dallas jumping up to 8 to get Shador ahead of New Orleans? Bring him in to be the Cowboys' future QB, right? Like, things have clearly not gone great with Dak. Not that Dak's the problem, but it's not gone great. Why not bring Dallas? And then you just
Jerry Jones is he's not going to do that. He's not. Dak is his guy.
Sarcastic thumbs up emoji. Because I don't know how to portray that in an audio sense. Sarcastic thumbs up emoji.
Forgot to mention the eye thing. I mean, that adds
and the eyebrow.
Yeah.
I think the Panther. The more I sit on it, the more I think about it, the more I think the Panthers trading back from 8 to somewhere, preferably like middle to late middle of the first round, and stockpiling a couple of picks is a good move, especially when you're not back on the clock until 57. That's a lot of picks to come and go before you get your next one. So trade back, pick up some capital, maybe pick up an early second round pick, right? Like, keep yourself in the first round, pick up an early second round pick from somebody, maybe add another fourth somewhere on down the line. And that doesn't mean you can't stockpile till next year either, right? Because, like, unless you just luck yourself into a home run for a you know, a Malik Nabers caliber player. With the needs that you have and the players that are going to be available where you're going to be drafting them, I don't necessarily think that there is that player out there that takes you from, because I think one of the things that I'm going to caution Panthers fans about this year, though, is you may very well go win the NFC South, right? You might go win the division this year. That does not mean that you are an NFC contender. Winning the NFC South does not by default make you an NFC contender. It just doesn't. You're just not there. It's just not that good of a division, obviously. So what I would caution Panthers fans is thinking that a divisional win this year is going to just like propel you into the NFC conference championship picture. It is not. And unless you're going to stumble in and find one of those cats that was like Brock Bowers that just changed the fate of the franchise with one draft pick, which when you need edge rushers and defensive backs is unlikely to happen. I say stockpile. I say add a couple of picks to next year's draft. I say set next year's draft up to be exceptional and special and loaded for you. And let's push next year to be the year that you go, this is the draft class that pushes us to the next level. This is the draft class that pushes us into contention for a conference championship. I think that's on the table. The more I think about it, the more a trade back from 8 feels like the right move for me.
We're going to see tomorrow night because that's when the draft starts. All right. Time to find out what the X is going on. And, of course, Rob Brown is going to let everyone know what it is. The first thing that is Xing, might as well start with something like artificial coloring.
So yes, I saw this and I have not gotten an opportunity to read up. Oh no, this is a different thing. Okay. So there's two things this could be. One, I believe that, RFK Jr. and the health department are working on or have approved banning certain artificial food dyes, from food, which
that's the one.
Yeah, I am honestly, I am not an expert on. I have not done the reading on to have an opinion on that one way or the other. It is something that I will spend an inordinate and irresponsible amount of time educating myself on today. I don't know enough about it to make a comment about that.
All right. I do have a comment because when I saw this, I am curious what foods will you look at M&Ms without the artificial coloring and go, yeah, I don't really want to. I mean, is there a food out there that the coloring is the reason why you eat it? And now that it doesn't have that color, where you go, oh, I've been eating that all this time?
I don't know. I don't know the answer. And again, I don't know which foods this impacts. I don't know. Like, are we about to start getting gray cereal? Like, for instance, one of the things that is has always been interesting to me, you know how we talk about red meat and how when you go by the store and you buy a steak, it's red? A lot of that's artificial coloring, right? Like, steak coming off the bone is gray. If you ever saw a steak uncolored, it's odd looking. It's gray. It looks more like tofu than meat. It's a weird vibe. Yeah. That being said, like I said, I don't know enough. I don't have any education on what the food dyes are and what they do and what their scientific relation to different things are. I have some pretty strong opinions on the decision-making processes of RFK Jr. in some other aspects, but I don't have the education on this one to be properly informed. I did see, however, that scientists have apparently done something with the genetic coding of somewhere's eyes to open their eye up to a new spectrum of light and have added a color to the spectrum that has never before been seen by human eyes. And I think that's pretty damn interesting, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I saw that, but I've already seen that color. So anyway.
Lonzo did drugs in the 70s.
No, I didn't. But that's why I can see it, because I don't do drugs. Anyway,
oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. All right. The next thing you're seeing is Stephanie Vaccour.
I don't know if this is the why reason she's trending, but I saw it earlier and I loved it. She hit the devil's kiss, as we are now affectionately calling it, which is a move in wrestling. And if you're curious, go Google it, because Stephanie Vaccour is a very attractive young lady. And yesterday, before she did it on, who was it, Roxanne Perez? She gave a little point, wink, and nod over to my guy Booker T on the sideline, because Book loses his mind, and I'm pretty sure one day his marriage, every time she does that move in the wrestling ring. And for the record, I get it, Book.
Yeah, that's exactly the reason why. But also, who she did it to. Because, you know, that's a...
Oh, that's right. That's Book's girl, too.
It is.
I forgot about that.
So a little bit of something either way. So I'm sure he was... I haven't watched all of NXT yet. I'm sure he was conflicted. All right, the next thing that is X-ing is Florence Pugh.
I did see she is X-ing. I guess they did the cinematic debut of Thunderbolts, which I'm very excited about.
Europe. They did it in Europe. So the debut, it's already debuted in Europe.
Beautiful. I'm not going to lie. I'm actually pretty damn excited about this movie. Like, I'm genuinely excited about it. I'm interested to see where they go and how it sets up everything else. That is part of the reason she's trending. I also saw a clip where she was hilariously trying to get the attention of Pablo Pascal, who was walking by.
Yes.
And she, like, totally fanned out over Pablo Pascal. And let's be honest, I also understand that, Florence.
It's Pedro.
I really
do. It's Pedro, isn't it? I don't think it's Pablo.
Sorry, Pedro.
It's okay.
He was in a show called Narcos that was about Pablo Escobar. It's a phenomenal show on Netflix.
Right.
I absolutely loved it, and I got my wires crossed.
I completely believe you on that. I'm looking forward to that movie, too, that comes out next week. And then finally, just because we might as well finish on this, Shannon Sharp X-ing again.
Yeah,
I get we're staying away from it, but at the same time.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's huge in the sports world. Shannon Sharp went on his podcast yesterday and denied all of the accusations that have been made against him in a $50 million lawsuit. However, there was a bit of audio tape that was released that is reportedly Shannon Sharp saying some aggressive things towards the young lady who is his accuser. The situation's ugly and it's gross and I hate it and it's gross.
By the way, we now see who the accuser is too. I mean,
oh, I have not seen that part.
Yeah, yeah, she's out there. So go look.
All right. Well, that's how we're gonna end it, on an absolute sad faced walk off.
Yeah, blame me. Whatever.
Thank y'all for being here. Hope you appreciate it. I'll be back in studio tomorrow. I should say, hope you enjoyed it. I appreciate it. Instead, what I said was, I hope you appreciate it. That was rude. I'm sorry. I'll be back in studio tomorrow. My brain will be screwed in the correct way, and we will try again to do better. For Lonzo, I'm Rob. Thanks for being here. See you tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later, buddy.